Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:10, it's bright daylight now at this hour. I don't know. Can we turn it down a little bit? Can we adjust it?
The light, you mean?
Yeah, it's too daylight. It feels like noon.
Well, it's cloudy. I mean, it's not like most mornings you come in at this time. You got the sun.
Are you telling me there's bigger problems in the world than this? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
really?
Wake up. It's a little cloudy.
And it's going to rain again, too.
What time?
It's on its way.
What time?
I don't know the exact
What time?
Let's say 9:22.
Oh, it's not good for me.
It's great. Just made that up, by the way.
It's great news. I put grass seed down yesterday.
Did you?
Yes.
When did you have time to do that?
Well, I
had a guy. I was going to say. You put grass seed down.
Why, what's wrong with your grass?
It was mud.
Oh.
So, it was barer.
That whole mud thing never caught
on.
No.
That mud dirt thing never caught on in Lawrence.
Yeah, I know.
Vivian, these are all suburban problems.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. I live in suburbs, too.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. That's a true city chick.
And I live in the city. I have grass and mud problems.
You have grass?
Yeah, I have grass. I planted grass last year.
How big is your grass spot?
I would say maybe as big as your studio.
You ever ride on lawnmower?
No, I have a battery-operated push mower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, any problems with you?
How's your grass?
No, but I did pot some plants. Didn't you see my Facebook
thing this
weekend? That was very exciting for
me. Hold on a second. Pot's legal. She's potting plants. What does this really mean?
I hate gardening, and I actually made myself. I had a nice little wooden pot that I loved, and I wanted to plant some cute flowers. So I did it. They're not dead yet.
Do you have a green thumb?
No. What? No, they're dirty now. Because
I've
been
2 days
gloves.
And they're not dead?
Dave.
Living a dream.
You're the one who's...
I agree. I thought they would be dead, but I did water. I don't know how much to water them. I watered them a little bit, but I tell you, the gardeners come out of the woodwork, come out of the grass, I should say, when you post anything with flowers. Holy cow, did I get some tips.
Yeah.
I'm going to use them, because I don't know what I'm doing.
I think it's great that you came out of your comfort zone to plant flowers, Mary. I'm very proud of
you. Thank you.
They look pretty.
It was quite and I planted bushes, too, this year. Wow, look at me.
What's next? Within,
a tree?
A short period of time, you're going to actually leave your house for things other than errands?
I know.
Stop napping in your car?
No naps. I took one in my house yesterday.
What?
Yeah, my husband wasn't home.
For new listeners to the show, and there's a lot of them, thank you for that, the idea that you sleep in your car is always kind of jarring for people.
I don't know why. I think more people do it than they want to admit.
Yeah. You should start a club.
Yeah.
I'll join.
The car nappers.
Do you sleep in your car?
I do. I've taken multiple naps.
See? It's the best.
Yeah,
but you don't... Mary Vanderbilt, Viv, pulls into her driveway.
Yeah, I don't actually do it while I'm driving, Viv. I mean, I'm stopped. I'm in my driveway.
Thank you for clarifying.
With the sun beating down on me.
But she pulls in her driveway, and she likes like a cat warming its bones in the window in the wintertime.
And I have my MyPillow travel pillow. It's hot. It's awesome.
And what we don't understand, and Steve and Dave and Joe and even Michael, who wouldn't say anything bad about anyone, I think we all agree we don't understand why you don't go in your house and tell everyone to shut the hell up.
I don't know. I just like my car.
And also,
because I won't sleep long in my car.
In the summertime, doesn't it heat up pretty quickly? I mean, you know how bad it is for children to be left in cars alone. Does it heat up?
Do you crack
up?
A window?
I open the window a
you
little
crack
bit.
Crack a window for you?
And then my neighbors are teachers. They come home for the summer, so I can't really do it a lot in the summer because they're home and it's, they don't want to still
You know, the worst thing? The worst thing is when people are judgmental about the crazy lady next door sleeping in her car.
Oh, there she is again. She just got home from work.
I mean, if I saw somebody appearing unconscious in the front seat of their car, I'd call 911.
Right.
That's why I'm afraid to sleep in the car, in the driveway. So I in the summer, I have to get out and go in the house.
Listen, we all have our things. That's yours. All right, so here's the deal. Yesterday, James Holzhauer lost on Jeopardy, and I sort of announced it yesterday morning.
Yes.
Sort of?
And it didn't really bother me that some people were upset with me, because I think, you know, that's my job, not to upset people, but, well, some days. But my job is to tell people what's going on and then give you my very important opinion on all of it. Your joke here. But yesterday, when I saw Bill Leff's little face at 10 o'clock and how disappointed he was in me. All right, so here's the deal. Listen, I didn't intend to upset you fine folks, any of you, including the ones that, you know, get upset about everything. But by the same token, I do have a job to do here. So what's the rule going to be? If something happens in the world, when do I get to tell you it happened in the world?
It depends on the audience you're telling it, like what the topic is. If it's something about, you know, like a Kardashian or something, then who cares? Spit it out.
Well, maybe the Kardashians care. What if Kim's listening?
Then maybe there are people who don't care about Jeopardy. Same ones who don't care about the Kardashians.
I guess. But one of the complaints yesterday was, you know, some older people don't use social media.
Which is fair.
And they don't use the internet.
Fair. I felt
badly. And they don't have a computer. But Jeopardy is their thing. My mom used to watch it religiously. Yeah, so she would have been mad.
That's the last people I would want to upset.
Yeah, well, that's who you're upset.
Those are the people I like.
Yeah, well.
The most.
I think that's what Mary happened. Sounds a little upset.
No, yeah. I kind of was. Actually, I really was.
So the point being, well, just take a nap in the car. The point being, there's a responsibility to, you know, fill this show with stuff that I think people need to know. Yesterday, I was a bit hasty you know what I should have done? I should have said there's a rumor going around, and that rumor is that something big's going to happen at Jeopardy today.
That would have been the way to do it.
Leave it at that.
But what other thing is there big that happens on Jeopardy at that time? It would have been that.
Maybe he breaks the record. I think there were two possibilities yesterday.
Oh, that's
yesterday.
True. He could have broken the record, because that was when he was supposed to do it.
So can we leave it at that then?
Yes.
All right, so let's fast forward. What's the next big cultural thing that's coming on? You don't have a Game of Thrones anymore. What else is coming up?
There's nothing coming up all summer
long.
No
new royal babies.
You spoiled the one last thing.
I did? I ruined the last thing? Wow, what a shame.
I think it's game three of the NBA Finals, Steve, coming up tomorrow night or on...
Dan, I know who won. I know who won, I'm going to tell you.
The game
hasn't even been played yet. I know
that's
who won.
That's what I'm saying. So tomorrow night, there will be people... who on Thursday morning are going to say, well, I taped the game and was on too late. I didn't watch
it. Okay, let's do this then. You're making a good point. Let's limit it to television.
Okay.
In television, I will say, see, this is the thing that drives me friggin' nuts, is I'm telling you to turn the radio off if I say I'm about to talk about something. I'm okay to do that if you got kids around. But this, and we're talking about something a kid shouldn't hear. But the idea that I'm going to tell you, turn off the radio, that's just so counterintuitive. I don't want you to turn it off. Turn it up. Tell your neighbors to turn it up.
Goes against everything you've ever been taught.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to find a way to craft the words such as I should have said yesterday. And what I should have said yesterday is something big's coming up on Jeopardy. Just telling you. Something big's coming up on Jeopardy. And leave it at that. Actually, for anything, I'm just going to say something big's coming up on Jeopardy.
Yeah, it's a tease.
No, I mean, no matter the topic, I'm going to say something big's coming up on Jeopardy, even if it has nothing to do with Jeopardy.
Oh, gotcha.
So is this kind of a mea culpa?
No, it's an apology.
Oh.
It's an actual apology.
What's a mea culpa?
Mea culpa is words that probably mean apology.
that went well.
So at any rate, I'm sorry that I said what I said yesterday. And now the top six will come up in just a second. Boy, I hope there's no surprises in here.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Here's how much more you're going to be paying for stuff after everything that happened in Springfield. The 19-cent per gallon gas tax starts July 1st. And there is still a chance that another, I don't know, 15, 20 cents, maybe more, would be added on to that if the federal infrastructure bill ever gets done. But 19 cents more starting on July 1st. Fees for motorists, $50 increase from 101 to 151 for your car. Smoking and vaping, the state's $1.98 per pack cigarette tax is an increase by a buck. Meanwhile, e-cigarettes will be taxed at a rate of 15%. Both of those take effect July 1st. Parking tax. The source of funding for building construction projects is 6% daily and 9% monthly tax will be imposed on garage and lot parking beginning January 1st. I have a personal problem with this.
Same.
Not because I can't do it, but because parking is already way too expensive in the city. So now, if you get a meter, or the old form of a meter, which is, you know, you're able to park on the street, congratulations. You found a slot, stay there for a month. But in general, like if you go into garages and stuff in the city, it's ridiculous.
Well, how about hotel parking?
It's insane.
Right. It's already insane. How will this impact that?
I don't know.
It will be more insane.
Yes, right? It'll be more insane. That's exactly right.
But if you ride your bike.
You're going to get everywhere. Me on a bike, aren't you? Been on a bike in a while. And online sales tax. This bill calls for expanding the sales tax collected on online purchases to more purchases made through remote or out-of-state online retailers. That really remains to be seen how it all plays out. So that's a few more immediate ways on how you're going to spend more money. Alderman Ed Burke's going to be arraigned today in federal court on corruption charges. We will find out what his defense will be, and we will find out potential sentences he could be facing going forward. Next, President Trump met with Prime Minister Theresa May today, London time. Widespread protests over his state visit are going on now in London, including the giant diapered baby orange balloon that's flying overhead. I got nothing to add to that. I mean, what do you need to add to that?
There are so many people protesting. It's actually causing a little bit of a security concern for the president and his moving about. So that's how many people are on the streets this day. There.
So what do? Is there some underground London they can take him through? How do they get him?
No, I think they just end up having to clear some of the streets to get him to the places he needs to be.
Well, worst case scenario for the Queen would be he'd be stuck in a palace for a couple of days.
I don't think the Queen wants that.
Mm-hmm. Next! Big Ten's going to reveal its new commissioner today, and we've talked for a long time about the possibility of it being Jim Phillips from Northwestern. Is there another possibility?
That would have been my bet, but this morning, multiple reports that Kevin Warren, who is the chief operating officer of the Minnesota Vikings, will be named at a news conference later on today to succeed Jim Delaney, who's retiring after 30 years and unprecedented financial success for the Big Ten. Yeah.
Is that a good gig?
I think it's a pretty good gig. I mean, he got
a lot of work, right?
Yeah. It's a CEO. It's the Fortune 500 type job in sports, where I think Delaney got $20 million in bonuses. So
it's a pretty good gig.
It's a pretty good paying gig, too, and prestigious.
Is there a chance maybe Jim Phillips turned it down?
I'm
in a world of possibilities. It's got to be in there, right?
Yeah, I can't. He would have been my expectation was that he was going to end up with the gig. Mm-hmm. And so, but I will say this. I do know that early on when the word first came that Delaney was retiring, that people were saying, well, not so fast to assume Jim would go because he loves the interaction with the student athletes at Northwestern. He loves being around the kids.
And that's really the upside.
This is not that kind of job.
You have to be around the adults.
yes.
The upside is that Northwestern still has Jim Phillips if this plays out the way that it's rumored to be playing out this morning. By the way, I know how this ends, and I'm not going to tell you. I know who
that was a great tease.
That's a big thing coming up today.
So maybe James Holzhauser is the new commissioner.
He's got time. Next. Premium bat attracted the White Sox to select Cal first baseman Andrew Vaughn with the number 3 pick in the MLB draft. Let's go to White Sox correspondent Super Joe on this. What do we know about this guy?
He's a corner infielder, played first base at Cal, but I guess was at least tried out during pre-draft workouts at third base. And then, like you said, premium bat, a guy who can really rake at the plate.
So good stick, no glove, or good stick, okay glove?
Potential glove. Okay. I think they definitely drafted him because of his offense, not because of his defense.
Okay.
He's already written him into the batting order for tonight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
We played golf yesterday with a Cal graduate, right?
Yes, we did. Ted Albrecht.
Yeah, Ted Albrecht. He didn't tell us about any of this. You know why? Because he didn't want to ruin it for me.
That's exactly right.
Next. And apparently all the smart people are here. the woman that actually dethroned James Holzer. Or can I say this? Do people know about this? Oh, yeah, it was on yesterday.
It was on yesterday.
James Holzhauer, the guy that lost in Jeopardy, lost to Emma Betcher, a librarian from the University of Chicago. So all the smart people are here.
And you see how he high-fived her afterwards, and he was happy for her.
And I saw on social media that she did a thesis on how to select answers to trivia questions. So one of her things that she did research on was answering trivia questions.
Yeah, it was Jeopardy based. Yeah.
How is that?
Very cool. She used Jeopardy as an example.
How is that a college thesis?
Well, I think it's
I want to see her paperwork. I want to see your dissertation. I want to see all of it.
Who she cited.
I think it's probably more on the randomness and you know, when questions appear and how they appear. That's
you said there'd be no math.
Right, I know.
It's 6:25. That is your top 6 at 6.
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
A lot of people chiming in on the Great Jeopardy Controversy 2019. 773, you could have said spoiler alert. Does that apply to everything now? I'm asking. Like, if you say spoiler alert, does that everybody understand that I'm about to say something that you may not want to hear?
Yeah, because then they can turn it down or turn
it
off.
But again, turn it off. Why would I tell people to turn the show off?
Right, you want them to come back.
Well, but there's no guarantee they're going to come back.
Right. That's why you're taking a big chance.
I believe all radio should be soldered to a point where they can only listen to this station.
And listen, I want to go back to something. You weren't the only person yesterday that did this.
Thank you.
I follow quite a few radio people and television people online, and they were all tweeting it on social media. They were all talking about it on their shows all day yesterday.
Are they apologizing this morning?
You know, it's a good question, but it was out there, and I think I think in the promo for the show today, you said if you hadn't said anything about it, you would have been the only person not talking about it.
847, after it's broadcast, it could be good. 708, Steve, just keep doing what you do. Who cares? Love listening to you and everyone in the morning. Love WGN. Ah, but wait, there's more. 773, when are you to announce things? If we go to war, can you talk about that? 262, if it's aired, it's fair game. Now, here's where, and there's a number of these, and they're from different people. Hold on to something. 773, your job's to entertain, not to snitch. By the way, I add the inflection to these texts based on how I think they were typed. 815. Steve, you should start a Ken Jennings rumor that he had something to do with the whole sour loss on Jeopardy. I think he did. I think there was a second Ken Jennings behind the grassy knoll. 773. The point being, as Steve Cochran is saying, that it's always about him. And he couldn't possibly think of others. That was not big, important news he was compelled to report. Give me a break. Well, at least he said he was sorry. How am I doing on the dramatic interpretation of this?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Nice.
Yeah.
And I would argue, as a news person, it was big news. This guy
has been big news.
He's been in the news for weeks.
309. Circle the wagon. Cochran never apologizes, and his staff supports him. Wait, he did. Apology accepted. It wasn't that hard, was it? I apologize all the time for stuff.
They said, we never support you?
No, they said, you always support me.
Yeah, we do. We're a team.
847.
Except yesterday.
847. Here's a cheap shot. Is it Steve Dahl or Steve Cochran I've been listening to?
Oh, ouch. Dang.
Ba-dum-bum.
847. Maybe the line is if it hasn't been broadcast yet. If somebody records the game, it's on them to listen. If it hasn't been broadcast yet, maybe do the tease. See, these are well thought out folks, except for the ones that are yelling at me. 630. The problem is that Steve gave it away before it aired. Once it aired, it's fair game. That's common sense, but he screwed up. An honest apology, not a sarcastic one, would have been appropriate. But I still love the show.
And one could argue that this is really the fault of Jeopardy for not keeping the secret a little bit more closer to the vest.
Yeah.
I mean, somehow this leaked out yesterday. That never happens, and it did. So maybe it's Jeopardy's fault.
708, let it go, but realize that you always refrain from discussing season finales of TV shows in detail. Of course, Vivian did this on Patty Vasquez's show, where she gave up the end to...
Oh, my God. Did they really write that?
No, I'm just saying this. I'm outing you.
Oh.
You gave up the Game of Thrones ending.
I did.
3 days after it was aired.
3 days after it was aired.
I just watched the Game of Thrones ending the other day, by the way, just 2 days ago.
Should we talk about
it? I hear nobody died.
No, nobody died.
773, I can't say enough how disappointed I was when you told the Jeopardy outcome before it even showed. That was very inconsiderate of you. It's the equivalent of telling the ending to Game of Thrones before it aired.
The dragon won Jeopardy.
I kept the radio off all day long so not to have my husband hear the outcome before he got to see it in person. Please be more considerate of your listeners.
All righty, then.
For me, this is a 7-0-8. For me, it took the stress off watching. I actually enjoyed it more.
They see, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
See, I think some people it took the stress off so much that they didn't even watch it at all.
So that's Alex Trebek's problem.
What killed me was the TV stations were still at the 5:36 o'clock news. We're like, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear what happened, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was 3 hours ago now. You know, it's really old.
Look
news.
At you taking the side of them. 7-0-8. I listen to your show in order to find out what's going on in the world. Keep doing what you do. Love you. Love your show. 7-0-8. This actually makes me laugh. Just heard His Highness half-baked apology. Everything's a big joke to him, I guess. Once again, I must turn off WGN, at least for the morning hours. Wake up, WGN. This guy's toxic.
Well, I'm leaving the studio right now.
Is that what smells? I don't know.
And by the way, if you're going to insult me, at least spell my name right. There's no E on the end of Cochran.
Wait a minute. That's how they had you spelled at the golf outing yesterday. Doc Most spelled your name that way.
Yeah, but he did it to be funny.
Okay. What's that, Cochrane?
Cochrane.
Cochrane.
And then there's a bunch more. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for texting. And I'm sorry on me. It's 6:35. That was sarcastic. Let me take that back. I'd like to apologize for that sarcastic comment and just leave it at. I'm sorry I said what I said yesterday. I'm going to try to be better. All right. Now, we need one more quick break. We're coming back with the headlines in just a moment at 720 WGN. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kid of the Week time. Remember, you can nominate a Kid of the Week to join us and be recognized just for being a good kid. A lot of ways to define that, but we love talking about good kids on this program. Been doing it now since, I don't know, I think I started back in 2000 here. But I mean, doing it, you know, various places. I've been thrown out of forever, but on WGN, the best audience for Kid of the Week ever. Because they appreciate great kids, and here's one today. And this young man's name is Jacob Pollock, and his grandmother wanted us to recognize that he's just a good kid. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
Has anyone ever called you sir before?
No.
Yeah, because it's kind of weird, right, when you're 10 to have somebody call you sir?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to be when you grow up, Jacob?
I'm not sure yet.
No, we're going to need an answer, Jacob.
I might want to work in my dad's construction business.
Oh, that's cool. So he builds businesses or homes, or what does he build?
Homes.
And that's kind of a cool job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does he ever let you help him, or is it stuff that's kind of dangerous?
Yeah, one time he let me do demolition with him, which is a lot of fun.
Nice! What's better than tearing stuff down, buddy?
Not much. It's really fun.
Right, exactly. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers.
Older or younger?
Older.
Are they good big brothers?
Yeah.
Do they let you hang out with them, or do they tell you to go away?
Most of the time they let me hang out with them, but
Sometimes, yeah. How old are they?
They are 14 and 16.
Well, they better be nice to you. I mean, you're Jacob, for crying out loud. So it's three boys in the family, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Here's what your grandma wrote about you. Said you're president of student council. How are you president of student council at 10 years old?
Our school in fifth grade has a Democratic election, and I won.
Now, and this was straight votes, right? This wasn't an electoral college kind of thing?
No, straight votes.
Straight votes? Okay, good. It says you're involved in the philanthropy fair at school. Do you know what philanthropy is?
It's giving back to people who need it.
And what's the philanthropy fair, the professional speaker tried to say? Is that where everybody has to come up with a project where they give back?
Well, there's a philanthropy club at school, and everybody in the philanthropy club at school basically puts up a station, and they sell stuff and then donate it to a charity.
What did you sell?
I sold, like, baked goods.
You bake them yourself?
No.
Well, it's good. I like your honesty as well. Also, caring deeply about helping people and always wanting to make a difference in a positive way in people's lives. Where do you think that inspiration comes from? Is that somebody in your family that you really look up to?
My parents.
So they taught you to be a good kid?
Yeah.
And who's Popsy?
Popsy's my grandpa.
You know what's funny about that is my granddaughter, Abigail Grace, calls me Popsy. I mean, like, you're Popsy and me. We're like the only two. And you know why? Because Popsies are cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, you sound like a fabulous kid. What do you do for fun?
I like to play basketball, watch YouTube, play with friends.
Now, when you watch YouTube, what do you watch?
Some games I play, like video games, fishing, basketball.
You ever try to teach Popsy how to play those?
No.
Yeah, because he probably isn't very good at video games, right? I mean, between you and me. I beat him pretty good. And when you're hanging out with your brothers, do you play basketball with them?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Okay. Are they pretty good?
Yeah, they're pretty good at basketball.
Yeah.
How are you, Jacob? What's your strength? You got a big three-point shot? Good ball handler?
I play center, so I'm good at driving to the basket.
How tall are you?
Tall.
Yeah, how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
At 10 years old?
Wow.
Wow.
I'm going to start calling you Shaq. Do you know who Shaq is?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll give your grandma a hug. And
they call him Sunshine. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, why is that, by the way?
That's just what my grandma's always called me.
Because you make her happy.
Right? Did she sing the You Are My Sunshine song? He doesn't know
what?
That song. That song, You Are My Sunshine, does your grandma sing it to you?
Yes, sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Now, see, you outed him. He didn't want his friends to know.
Well, it's okay.
Now he's so tall, he blocks out the sun.
Yeah,
your
okay.
Grandma.
Is your dad tall?
Yeah, my parents are very tall.
So over 6 feet?
My mom is 5'9", and my dad's 6'4", 6'5".
Wow. Yeah, you're going to be a tall dude.
Yeah. You can play volleyball, too. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be one tall kid. Anyway, it's nice to have you on the show, and we're going to give you something for being on the show. What are we giving him, Super Joe? What would you like to give our friend Jacob? an evening of conversation with Julie Andrews to take his friends? No? That wouldn't work?
No, we got an F gift card and a Lou Malnati's gift card for young Jacob.
But if he wanted to go to the Julie Andrews thing, he could?
I was planning on giving that away later in the week.
Okay. You probably don't need to see Julie Andrews, huh, Jacob?
We give that to his grandma.
Take grandma.
Yeah.
Lou Malnati's, you get the pizza, plus they give you a gift card to App. Go get yourself a new pair of headphones or whatever. But anyway, thanks for being a great kid.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for being on. That's Jacob. We like Jacob. You know, he's president of the student council.
Man.
I'm still not sure it was an electoral college victory. We haven't seen the total vote count yet.
No, I don't think it was, Steve.
You know what I should have asked him? If he heard what happened on Jeopardy yesterday.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'll bring it up.
6:51, and thanks to all the listeners you texted, and we appreciate it. You're somebody who thinks I feel guilty, and I did, you know, for some people I did, but it says, Steve, I want to give you a big hug. Listen, hugs from listeners are always good. Some of you hold on a little too long.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I'm looking at one of our monitors, and this morning on Channel 9, Dean Richards, who of course is my co-host of Moron Entertainment, is interviewing the world's greatest Elton John expert, Jim Toronto, who is dressed like an Elton John groupie. Guy, at any rate, we'll take this up with Dean at 8 o'clock in a little over an hour. So,
well, Jim has seen Elton John, 150-plus times?
I think that's true, yeah.
Wonder how many times he saw the movie this weekend.
It's great. I mean, really, you guys need to see it.
I know I want to see it.
Yeah,
he said he'd seen it three times when he talked to Dean on Dean's show on Sunday.
Yeah,
he had already seen it three times.
I don't understand. I mean, I love Elton John. I love Elton John. And one of the favorite concerts ever was Elton John and Billy Joel in Milwaukee together. Kind of a dueling pianos thing. But why would you see somebody 150 times? I mean, you probably know the set list better than the band at that point. So, and I'd be, you know, well, good for him. It's his money. He can spend it any way he wants.
Well, it's his wife's money, too. Maybe she just wants him out of the house.
It's possible.
There you go.
Oh, El John's coming. Yeah.
We've met Jim. Getting him out of the house might be a good idea.
He's fun.
So, listen, everybody thinks I just crush Trump all the time for the entertainment value. That's not true. I crush him because he deserves to be crushed. Now, here's the difference. I also will point out when the media is being ridiculous. And there's a story floating around this morning where the media is being ridiculous. And that is that Donald Trump didn't remember the gift that he gave the Queen last year. And they're calling it a major faux pas. I don't know too many men, and this is not gender specific, but there is a certain memory thing that men have or lack that women may have or lack. And in this case, women have it, men don't. And that is, he didn't remember what the gift was last year. He's president of the United States, regardless of how much I dislike him. You got a lot going on. And the idea that he didn't remember what he gave the Queen is not a story. Leave him alone. Wait till he screws up again. It won't be more than 5 minutes. And move on. Because, again, when you point out everything, it looks like everything that Trump says is right, that all you're doing is picking on him. And the other thing is the state dinner last night. You know what? If you're going to have Trump over for a state dinner, get him a bucket of chicken. The idea that you're going to put him in tux and tails and have him sit there and eat foie gras or whatever else the royal chef prepared. And you know what I'd like to see one time? I'd like to see the Queen just dive into a plate of ribs. Just a big, messy plate of ribs.
And a glass of whiskey.
No! Oh, more barbecue sauce! Right? I mean, it's just, it's all too stuffy.
I wonder what she drinks.
I just wonder how many people at that state dinner at the White House or that royal dinner, I wonder how many people are really having a good time. It doesn't look like it's fun to me.
So I wonder if the royals would just get a bunch of fast food for the president when he's there. Because that's what he's done for the teams that have visited the White House, right?
Well, that's the thing, right? Is the responsibility for the guest to enjoy the host food or for the host to supply food the guest would enjoy?
The guest must enjoy the host's food.
Yes.
You ever eaten in London? It's not good.
Well, fish and chips are pretty good.
Freaking fish and chips
in the newspaper.
Freaking fish and chips wrapped in a paper. What's wrong with that? So anyway, yes, mark this date on the calendar. I'm sticking up for Donald Trump. It's perfectly fine that he forgot what they gave the Queen last year. I'm telling you right now, if you lined up men around this city, you would find that almost all of them forget what gift. Part of it is because women, you know, will take that job over let us off the hook.
I don't remember anything.
Well, you don't remember gifts?
No, I feel terrible. Unless it was a real big one. But doesn't Trump have people for that to tell him?
In this case, he probably had no idea that somebody bought it. He had no idea what it was.
And Melania stepped in, by the way. Melania stepped in and defended him in a very subtle wife-like way before she could yell at him in the car on the way back.
But she didn't remember, right?
No, she said, I believe that's what we gave the Queen last year.
Oh.
And Trump said, yeah, I know.
Well, good.
So, all right, it's coming up. Actually, that tone means it was 7 o'clock. So let's do this. We're going to come back in just a second and get you Steve Grzanich into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
It is 7:12. Talked to Rob O'Neill on the Cochran Show Everything podcast yesterday. Go to WGNradio.com. You can look those up, or you can go to WGNradio.com/Cochran. Is that right, Joe? And you can find all the podcasts there. We've got a nice list of people that these are longer conversations that we don't necessarily have the time to do on the regular show, and we get into some stuff that we don't necessarily talk about on the regular show. Anyway, Rob O'Neill, for those of you not aware, Navy SEAL Team 6, the guy that shot bin Laden. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And second time talking to him yesterday, he's also the head of an organization called Your Grateful Nation that I'm a big fan of. So we'll get to that in just a second. But Vivian, who's nice enough to stick around this week after yesterday, I thought she wouldn't come again.
I'm back.
But nice to have you here. And you saw something which I found interesting. You and I were having a discussion about this off the air, and I just want to do a quick poll of everybody on the show.
Okay.
This is about color.
Yes.
All right.
So there are two colors you should never paint the walls of your humble abode.
Two colors you should never paint the walls of your house.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Staff poll time. Mary Vandeville.
Are these like regular primary colors, or are they weird, like salmon or something?
You can't ask. You can't ask that. You just got to give me two colors you never paint your house.
Red.
And?
Oh, I didn't. Black.
Red and black. Okay, Steve?
I'm going to say red and yellow.
Red and yellow.
Yellow's a good one.
All right, Dave?
Now, these interior rooms, correct?
Yeah, it wouldn't be the outside of the house, right?
No. Okay. Okay. Interior.
I'm going to go pink and brown.
What? Those are interesting choices.
Okay.
Pink and brown.
Those are my choices.
Michael, Joe, you guys have an opinion?
Yeah, I'm going to say yellow and robin's egg blue.
Why?
Robin's egg blue is a lovely color.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go black and slightly off black. Those would be the two. And the two colors are?
Scarlet and gray.
Scarlet and gray.
I forgot to ask Joe.
Because those would be the Ohio State colors?
Maybe.
I could have said orange and blue. I should have done that.
All right. What are they?
Red and yellow.
Red and yellow.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, it wins.
Yeah.
Why yellow? Because yellow.
It's too bright. And that's according to the Property Brothers.
Oh, so you're talking bright yellow. See, my bedroom is a pale yellow. And it's beautiful. It can go with anything.
I think like a bright yellow.
Well, I wouldn't do
like
that.
Like highlighter color.
Red and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, red is...
So the red doesn't match your decor, you know, in your house.
We had a room that was red that I thought was cool. And my wife goes, no, this is not...
What color red was it? Like fire engine red?
I don't know. You know me. I'm colorblind.
Well, it was probably more of a
It was a deeper red.
Because you don't want to do a fire engine red. But red is a good accent to any
I was
going to
ask
room.
You.
I thought it was an accent color. Cool
yeah,
color.
Yeah, it's a good accent color.
But I was told I was wrong.
Now, I have to say that I picked red and yellow, even though my master bedroom is a maroon color. I know that's not really red. And my master bathroom is a yellow color, but it's more of a golden yellow. And I like my yellow bathroom.
So like a mustard?
That's my favorite.
Yeah, like
by the way, Steve, that may be my favorite sentence I've ever heard. I like my yellow bathroom.
I like my yellow bathroom.
312-981-7200 texters if you'd like to chime in as well. By the way, 716. You want to play a clip from the podcast? Let's do that. Again, WGNradio.com/Cochran is how you can get all the podcasts. And you can hear this one that we recorded yesterday. Rob O'Neill, the man who killed bin Laden. A lot of people said, whoa, these guys aren't supposed to talk. And I asked Rob, I said, I know other guys talked before you. Is that what broke the dam for you?
Everyone on the mission knows what happened. And as soon as we got back, every Navy SEAL that knew anyone on the mission said, who got him? That's the first question they asked. And they would say, well, don't tell anybody, but. And then they would tell their bartender, well, don't tell anybody, but.
Right.
And so my name was out in the community in Virginia Beach, parts of D.C. and New York, and then out in Coronado. I got a call from Coronado that night from two of my former bosses congratulating me. And it was just a weird situation where it's like, I don't want my name to be out there, but you can't get the toothpaste back in the tube, and it just keeps getting further and further. And it took me a while to finally acknowledge it, because, you know, the biggest concern is the security thing. But if people already know, me pretending they don't know is not going to protect me. So I might as well own it, because hopefully I can help some families of 9/11 with the healing process, because there'll never be closure. But just healing with a name and a face of a real person that was there that saw bin Laden die and killed him, actually.
Have you been to the museum in New York, the 9/11 museum?
Oh, a bunch of times. Yeah, I go there all the time. It's
incredible.
It's never the same experience. Very, very humbling. You know, make some plans for about an hour or two of reflection afterwards. They actually have an area there called the Reflection Room, where you can just sit down and think about everything. Because you relive 9/11, there's no doubt about
it. There's no question. Every second of every part of the day.
And there's tissues everywhere, so you can grab one. There's parts with that warn you of what you're about to see if you want to go around this corner, which I think everybody should see at least once a week to remind them of our enemy, but also remind them of our unity. The stuff with the people jumping out of the
building and recordings, voicemail, phone calls of family members saying goodbye.
Yeah.
I mean, it's heartbreaking, but it reminds you. And I guess if I'm you, I don't know. I hope you allow yourself to feel incredibly proud for what you guys accomplished.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's definitely some pride involved too. It would be an honor to be called to do it for obvious reasons, and
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot.
So when you think about where we are today in the world, who's our number one enemy?
Well, I mean, it all depends. For the individual, you know, the knife attacks is going to be the ISIS-inspired lone wolves. But we're going to have some major problems with China coming up pretty soon, too. A lot of the electronic stuff, a lot of the cyber warfare that people aren't paying too much attention to because it's not real yet. But, you know, it comes to a spot eventually where there's some sort of electric pulse that blasts out a lot of our infrastructure. That's going to be a big problem. I mean, a lot of the world is run by bad men.
You think about what happens domestically here, the insanity of gun violence in this country. Virginia Beach is a very important town to you, so it's personal. Should American citizens have the right to have the kind of weaponry that you guys deal with?
What it all comes down to is not the access to the gun, it's the bad intent. The intent's the problem, the people the problem, what they're being taught. Like, no one's taught to hate, no one's born hating, they're taught to hate. To take away the weapons now, there's still illegal weapons out there, there's millions of them there. You're not going to get them back from gun owners. It's just the response, it's a violent society, and I know there's more shootings here in a lot of places, but taking away the right to own a gun is not going to... Stop it.
Well, one, it's never going to happen, and two, it's the wrong answer. It's the wrong answer to the problem, because the Second Amendment exists, and you're not going to change it, and frankly, we shouldn't. Having said that, eliminating the ability for nuts to get guns to do the things they do, to the best of our ability,
we got to do something.
We got to do something. We got to take steps. This guy in Virginia Beach had a silencer and extended mags. I don't know why those are needed by a civilian.
I kind of agree with that, too. A suppressor, definitely. I mean, the only reason you need the suppressor is obviously to quiet the gun so you can't see the muzzle flash if someone else is shooting at you at night vision. If we're at that point, we're a lot deeper in than we thought we were. And I don't think you should be able to go to the gun shop and buy a belt-fed machine gun. That's a weapon of war. But, yeah, I wish nobody shot anybody ever again. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is we're not going to be able to fix the mental health problem in this country. That's the medium to long-term solution, and we have to fix it, but that's not going to happen soon. So what I'm looking for are things that can literally be done now, if we had political guts in this country in any way, to help move this forward. And I'm telling you, I support the Second Amendment, and the majority of Second Amendment supporters and NRA members, for that matter, all say the same thing. Let's do what's right and do it now, because, 99% of NRA members, in my opinion, feel the way you do and feel the way I do. Maybe not 99%, but a good majority of them.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't want this either.
I agree. Well, I mean, it's like if you took an AR-15 loader to put one in the chamber and even put it on fire, if you set it down on a counter, in 100 years, it's not going to shoot itself.
Mm-hmm. We're having circular, stupid arguments about things when we should be saying, what is realistic that we could do to limit the chances that this will happen? Because we're not going to be able to stop it. There will still be crazy people who will do awful things. But let's limit the chances if we can.
Yeah, I mean, how about education? Stop teaching people that other people deserve to be killed because they don't believe what God thinks they think they should believe, or whatever nonsense it is. I mean, there's bad apples out there, and it's just too bad.
That's just scratching the surface, by the way. We get deep into the mission of getting bin Laden on that podcast, and he kind of walks me through exactly what went on from the time they got on the chopper that night and flew into Pakistan, did the mission, and came back. So, recommended listening. Again, WGMRadio.com/Cochran for all things from this show, including that, or wherever you get podcasts. You can pick that up. It was just recorded yesterday. Texas says, my aunt painted her house with bold colors, red, blue, green, yellow, and purple. All big, bold colors. And I felt like I was in a children's museum.
That's hilarious.
We'll do the FPPP coming up in just a second.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
the most valuable person on the planet.
Oh, thank you. The Queen and Trump holding a joint press conference in a few. Steve will monitor that and give you any news that may or may not come out of it. Meantime, the most valuable person on the planet this morning is Jordan Buckner. Jordan Buckner of T-Squares. T-Squares are bite-sized snacks infused with natural energy from tea leaves. Each T-Square is handmade using natural, great-tasting alternatives. And if you've ever listened to this show, you know what I'm going to say next. It's a project that helps others. Good morning to you, Jordan Buckner.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for being on, and congratulations on being so valuable.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So these T-Squares, are we talking about chewable tea?
No, they're actually more like an energy bar. They're absolutely delicious. They're lightweight, crunchy, a little sweet. So a perfect snack to take with you in the morning for breakfast about this time, running out the door, or in the afternoon you need a pick-me-up. And really came from a need of helping people to stay focused and productive during the day. And so they infused with tea to give you a natural pick-me-up so that when you hit that barrier during the day, you can eat these and they'll keep you going to the next couple hours.
So what's in it other than the tea leaf extract?
Yeah, they're made with puffed millet, almonds, and pumpkin seeds. And so all whole seeds and grains to help keep you going. And just lightly sweetened with agave nectar.
Dave,
so all natural ingredients.
Dave, that sounds like a dream come true for you.
Sounds great, yeah.
I'm just very anxious
to try them.
I'd say they're great for tea lovers and people just love snacking. So you'll absolutely love them.
And they come in chocolate.
We don't have a chocolate flavored now. No. We have the vanilla chai, acai blueberry, and citrus green tea matcha, which is my favorite.
Ooh. Yeah. Steve Grzanich's nickname in the newsroom is Vanilla Chai. I don't know if you know that.
Ooh.
All right, so here's the question then, because we hear that tea is healthy in so many different things, studies, discussions, medical journals, that there's positives that come from tea. Are we going to get those from these, or are they just an energy-boosting, healthy snack?
You definitely will. So what we do is take the whole leaf tea, either black or green, grind it into a powder. If you think like you got in a matcha or made matcha at home, similar to that. And then we mix it right into the snack. So you're getting the whole leaf and you get all the benefits from that as well. They're high in antioxidants. They provide a little bit of natural caffeine from the tea leaves and also amino acids that help to reduce your stress levels. So it's very comprehensive in the benefits.
You haven't been out of school very long, but you're doing this in part to help others. And at your age, that's an impressive thing to do. Not that your generation doesn't give back, because you probably give back more than anybody else. But you've created a business around it. So who benefits from this?
Definitely. So in addition to us helping people stay focused, we also have a social mission of helping individuals from underserved neighborhoods with job opportunities. So we manufacture everything right here in Chicago in the greater Inglewood neighborhood. We have a manufacturing facility where we do all of our production there. And then we actually work with young adults from the community around the South Side, Inglewood, Bronzeville, Chatham, to provide job opportunities. And so we bring in these young adults, teach them about T-Squares production, and then provide job opportunities for them. And then additionally to that, every summer we host a fellowship program where we hire typically high school age students to come in and learn about marketing, business, and business operations. You know, a lot of stuff that these kids are really bright, they're really smart, but they don't necessarily have the same opportunities. And so we want to provide those to them, and we do that through a job shadow program over 2 months.
Well, that's what makes you valuable. I mean, it's not just the T-Squares. You're helping the world, so that's a good thing. And by the way, named on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, which is a very prestigious thing as well, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's really something powerful that my father instilled in me when I was younger, where in running a business, you have to be able to take care of yourself and your family, of course, but also your community. And I've really taken that to heart. So the people that we're working with, a lot of them, they're single fathers looking to get on their feet and take care of their families. People who were previously incarcerated, who are looking for a second chance and looking for job opportunities. And so it's really made a huge difference in the lives of the people that we've been able to help. And it's just been very, you know, rewarding seeing those individuals come in, learn about our product, but also be able to make a difference in their lives and then leave better for it.
Where do we get them?
So the easiest way is on our website at www.mytsquares.com. That's MYTEASQUARES.com. And then we also work with a number of corporate offices around the city. So if you work in an office, have snacks, and want to bring T-Squares in, just send us a note through our website, and that'll be the best way we can keep everyone fueled and energized. And then they're also sold on Amazon.com and in Chicagoland, Whole Foods and Jewel Osco stores.
All right, mytsquares.com. Send a sampler over so we can have Dave try these on the show.
I would love to, yes.
We'll talk about you even more. Mytsquares, S-Q-U-A-R-E-S, right? T-E-A?
Yes.
Got it. All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
There you go. He's the most valuable person on the planet. And each day we try to find somebody that can make you think or spur you on to help others or at least hear a good news story as well. It's 7:33. We'll come back in just a moment. Could you give your friend or neighbor a parking ticket? Well, maybe. Could be coming, Dave, to your hometown. Because, you know, there's not enough Discord in Washington.
Oh, of course not.
At 7:33, the headlines are next on 720 WGN.
This is today's Pucks in Prague clip of the day.
A big hit by Bowen on Nyquist from the penalty boxes. Seabrook on the right.
Clip of the day.
Oh, man.
And you're here again this afternoon with Ro Khan. Be caller number.
Hi, this is Jonathan.
19.
Hi,
win a Blackhawks prize pack, including tickets to the Blackhawks convention, and be qualified to win a trip for two to see the Hawks open their season in Prague, Czech Republic against the Flyers. Listen to Ro Khan today to win.
Nice work, Duff. My European vacation, I want you to go on it. Congratulations first to Joanne Neighbor of Downers Grove, who's the winner, and tune into Ro Khan with Anna DeVlantis this afternoon between, let's make it 5 and 5.30. Between 5 and 5.30, listen for your clip, the clip we just played. Not now, then, for your chance to join Joanne as a grand prize qualifier, be the 19th caller, and you get four tickets to the Hawks convention, a signed replica jersey, a signed hockey stick, a signed puck, and a photo. Plus, you'll be qualified to go on my European vacation, you, me, and the Blackhawks in Prague. And then tomorrow morning at 7:40, we'll do it all over again. So looking forward to that this October. And I was at that game, and I think you were as well. That was a great night.
It was a great night.
Yeah. Marianne Ahern is with us. We love Marianne Ahern from NBC5. Have you ever?
Hey, Steve. I've been lucky enough to be in Prague once. You're going to love it. It's beautiful.
I've never been, so I'm looking forward to it. I may have to call you for tips. Now, I told Dave I'm just going to take over the castle, and he said I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I advised against that.
Lots of good pork. You will love it.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. All right. Well, I like pork. All right, so here's my question. Everything that happened in Springfield between Friday and Saturday, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't ever remember that much getting done in that short a period of time.
Never. I mean, at least in my lifetime. I mean, we're so used to nothing happening.
Right.
And so it's hurry up and wait. We had 2.5 years with no budget. And wow, they just steamrolled it all through. It's going to be interesting to sort out all the details, though, once we see exactly what they did vote on.
Is it because of the world we live in now that the buzz on this has not been over the top? Because, you know, we've talked about this, and we always talk about this. Politics isn't in the White House for you. Politics starts with your school board and your local town and works outward from there. In other words, your life was changed more Friday and Saturday in Illinois than anything that's going on in Washington. And yet, a lot of people were barely talking about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure they all understand. I mean, you're going to pay a lot more for various, whether it's gasoline, cigarettes, license plates. All of those went up. And they passed the referendum on the fair tax, what they call the fair tax. It's the graduated income tax that would totally change the structure in Illinois. That will now go to the people. That's still a big lift to get everyone on board to say, yes, I agree, especially anyone who makes more than $250,000 a year, going to pay more in income taxes as well. That won't happen until 2020. But, yes. Gas is definitely going to hit everyone, and they're estimating at least about $100 a year, if not more.
Yeah, and for those of us who drive bigger vehicles, the number will be even higher. You know who I feel for is the guy that's making a living driving a truck.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, and then just renewing your license plates, at least $50 more. And the electric vehicles were even more than that. So some folks are going to say, listen, this was long overdue. It's because there was so much dysfunction. We're behind. Look at all the roads and bridges that need help. Look at the college campus that are owned by the state. They need some restructuring. They need renovation. So there's that argument. There's others that say, oh, my gosh, look what happened when it's a majority Democrat in the House, Senate, and the governor. He could have whatever he wanted.
Yeah, and the thing I don't understand as well is why Pritzker's people aren't parading him out everywhere. You know, governor, you're invited here, and there's never been a better time to talk about what a swell job you're doing. But again, I don't understand why Pritzker's people are hiding him. Having said
he is out today, so we'll finally get to ask him some questions.
Oh, he's going to be out. All right. Well,
he'll be out this afternoon.
All right. Now, here's the other thing that people are bringing up constantly, and I know you understand this, but what lack of skepticism should we have that we give Springfield more money and they're finally going to spend it the right way?
Exactly. Do you really think when they say this is going to go to the pot for road improvement only? Is it really going only to that pot?
Yeah, they make up the rules. They can move any money they want.
Right. This is going to go to education. Although, even the Chicago Public Schools will tell you that they have been receiving more money than they have in a long time. And that was during the Rauner administration that he upped the education budget. But, yeah, there is plenty. And now what they also did in a very, what's the right word, offhanded way, they gave themselves a raise. They each are going to get $1,600 more a year by a maneuver by not voting on a salary freeze. The Senate voted on it. The House didn't vote. So, you know, if they want to give themselves a raise, hey, you know, a lot of us ask for a raise at the end of the year. I get it. But just do it in with transparency.
Yeah, own it. Own it. Stop liking. Stop acting like, well, we didn't want to do it. It just kind of happened. Stop it.
Right, because that raise also then affects their pension. You know, it's all of that. They have not gotten a raise in 10 years, and there are those who will argue that if you don't want a legislature of just rich folks, you know, then you got to give them a little bit more money so that the teachers, the farmers, the whoever might run. But I still say, throw your hand up and say, yes, I deserve a raise.
Any of this going to social services, for instance? We're terrible in this state on taking care of foster kids. We're terrible in this state on having mental health facilities that are equal to our position in the country, certainly. And care for the disabled. I mean, is that money going anywhere near that, or is it all?
Yes, there is a big improvement, a big, huge $100 million, I believe, is what it is. Now, that might be over several years for DCFS. Good. And we've seen what's happened with DCFS in the last few years.
Right.
They're overworked. Everyone gets mad and says, how did you miss it? Why didn't you know that this poor baby was in, you know, trouble? And then when the baby dies, everyone says, oh, my gosh, you should have been there checking more often. Well, because of the folks that are doing the checking have 200 cases a week or whatever it might be. So, yes, there is definitely more money for DCFS, and that will help them. And let's hope they use it in the right way.
How do they follow this? Because here's the deal. You get that much done right away. Now you got to take on the tough stuff. Don't they have to answer for pension questions and things like that now?
Absolutely. And, you know, even the governor. And I have to say, I've been off covering the mayor's race a lot more lately than the governor. I'm going to see the governor today. I hope we can get some good questions to him. But, you know, he is become as a first-time politician, you know, first-time candidate who's won, he's very adept at saying, "Well, I don't know. We'll get back to you on that one." You know, so we do need to find out what. How do we keep an eye on the money trail and see, does this money absolutely go to DCFS? Are we going to see better mental health services? And that is a question for Mayor Lightfoot as well, because we know what's happened in the city of Chicago with half of the mental health clinics closed and with the Emanuel administration.
Yeah, and Sheriff Dart will tell you that the prison should not be a mental health facility, and it's turned into that. Speaking of Mayor Lightfoot, does she get to decide where the casino goes?
Well, that's part of the feasibility study. Obviously, she, you know, it's her. She's the mayor, and she's going to be, I would think, playing a big role in it. And there are those critics already worried that this study will slow it down. The South Suburbs is also going to get a casino. We're going to have gambling, I think, down Michigan Avenue, the way they said yes to everything.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
come
on. You know, slots at O'Hare and Midway, slots at the racetrack. There are more. All the video gaming machines get to add more machines, the ones that already have it. So there is a ton. This is a big gambling bill. There was talk originally of putting the casino in the south side, on the far south side. And the Ninth Ward wanted it badly. Others say, no, bring it downtown where the convention business is. You know, there's going to be a fight over that for sure. And if they wait too long, the south suburbs was allowed a license, a new gambling license as well. You might see that one up before the city of Chicago's. So there is going to be some urgency to that.
So let's talk about effective dates. We're out of time here, but I need to know this stuff. July 1st, gas tax, that's July 1st?
Yes. Marijuana, not until January 1st. So everybody slow down on that. I think folks are thinking they can light up already.
Yeah, be careful, kids.
But, yeah, be careful. And I think some company, you know, obviously businesses need to figure out what their policy is on that. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to drug test employees? And then what happens, you know, if they see THC in their system? Are you automatically, you know, out the door? So they got some things to work out. I think a few of these bills might be tweaked again when they return in November for the veto session when they go through. There are folks complaining that they haven't set standards on if you're pulled over and driving and what if you're high.
Yeah, and the gambling January 1?
Beginning, they can get rolling on, at least as far as, you know, they've got to pick, at least in the city of Chicago, it's private owned. So they're going to split the revenue, city, state, and private ownership. Right. But they're going to get that feasibility study up and running very quickly.
Marian Aaron, NBC5. Tell the governor hi for me because he's not coming in here yet, but we'll get him. We'll get him, Marianne.
Right.
We will.
Yeah. When you do, I'm running over too.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
And watch Marianne on NBC5 and see her in all the social media situations that you enjoy every day.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We're just talking again off the air, and, you know, Viv is noticing things that we should cover on the show, and so far I completely agree with her. But this thing you brought up. Now, Dave, you're from Washington, D.C.
Originally, many years ago. I'm a Chicagoan.
No. Okay, well, I was assuming you're not being.
I don't want to go ahead.
My kids grew up here. They're Chicagoans. I happen to be born somewhere else. But in the 8 o'clock hour, I want to talk about this. In Washington, D.C., coming soon, what happens?
Their residents are going to be able to issue parking tickets.
To other residents.
To other residents.
I could give you a parking ticket.
It's the Wild West. You could make a citizen's arrest.
Barney Fife would be so proud. We're coming back to get to the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll get to that story next hour as well on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, 8:12. Time now for...
You can never know.
The Elton John segment of the show. Rocket Man, great. It's great. One of the most recommended movies from me in a very long time. Dean Richards is actually this morning. I don't know if he lost a bet or he's doing it as a favor or if he sees it as quality television programming. But earlier today, as we start more on entertainment here, Dean, I looked up on the monitors and I saw you with Elton Jim.
Elton Jim Toronto, right.
He was standing there with a scarf on and white glasses, sunglasses of sorts, or some sort of glasses.
Elton John glasses, right.
Standing very close to a giant portrait of Elton's head. And I thought you were, I swear to you, I thought you were in some sort of funky museum. I didn't even know you were at his house.
It is kind of like a funky museum because his home is a shrine to Elton John. There is Elton John memorabilia everywhere in this house, and we thought with the movie coming out, which would be an interesting time to, you know, see the stuff he's got, albums and 45 RPM singles and 8-tracks and posters and actual memorabilia. I'm looking at a jacket that Elton John wore on stage that he's got, a pair of glasses that were Elton John's actual glasses.
Does he have any idea what the collection is worth?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where he went, also.
You're just wandering around his house now by yourself? Well, listen, we both agree Rocket Man's a great movie.
Your collection worth?
Oh, he's coming back now.
Oh, I can't even... I don't know. I can't put a number on it. Yeah, but if anyone wants to break in the house, come and, you know, get a little estimate.
Right.
You're like an Elton John Antiques Roadshow.
We're going to be giving out Jim Toronto's home address at the end of the segment.
We'll give out the home address later on. Right.
Well, I tell you, it's impressive in a very odd way, but it's impressive. And
there's a human skeleton in this house. There's
whoa, Tiger. What do you mean there's a human skeleton? No, what does that have to do with anything? Is that
there's not. Oh. There's not, but what I was picturing when I was coming here, because I've teased him so much about this over the years, I was picturing coming into, like, Norman Bates' house.
Right. Where's your grandmother? She's in the basement.
Right.
You want to meet her?
Yeah. Oh, it's very interesting. There's a lot of cool... He's got two letters that Elton John wrote to him personally, thanking him for photographs that he sent and thanking him for being such a loyal fan. There is a recording that he has, a video actually, of Elton John on stage at Madison Square Garden dedicating a song to Elton Jim.
Yeah, about that.
For being such a loyal fan over the years. So,
see what his reaction is. This, a good friend of mine used to go to Elton John's house to watch Monday Night Football when Elton John lived in Buckhead, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. He would have friends over on Monday nights to watch Monday Night Football, and he used to invite my friend Brian. See what Jim thinks of that.
Jim, where are you?
Oh, he's gone again?
I hate your friend.
He walked off again?
I don't know what he's doing. I'm hearing from the other room, knife is getting sharpened. I'm not sure what
right.
that means.
Right.
Did you hear what he said about his friend?
Did he say he hates my friend?
He hates your friend for being that close to Elton.
I assume Jim liked the movie, right? Rocketman?
Oh, yeah. Jim loved the movie. Okay. Although, interestingly, you know, we had some Elton John super fans on the my radio show on Sunday. And they were a tiny bit more critical, I think, than the average person, you know, because they know every single detail of Elton John's life and, you know, would have thought that certain parts of it should have been included or, you know, other things that were in shouldn't have been. So, you know, they were being super picky. But, yeah, overall, he loved the movie.
And are you and I going to get together? Dean and I have a high-level meeting today. We're doing, we probably shouldn't announce this until, you know, we've got our deal done, but we're close. Dean and I, and part of Moron Enterprises, we are going to do a biopic for Dexy's Midnight Runners.
We're very close to getting the rights
right.
To tell that very important story. Steve, I should have texted you or something on this. I did get the rights to not the Jeopardy Holzhauser story, but the story of a local radio talk show host who blew the story before it was ever on the air. I'm finding that to be a much more interesting and compelling story.
Some of people are telling me I should hire security just to get back and forth to my car. That's how much I upset people.
When I was driving here this morning, I heard you start the show talking about that and how people were so upset about it's a TV show.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know who's probably the maddest of anybody? Mary Vandeveld. Mary Vandeveld and Bill Leff both hate me.
I did hear you say that they were very upset. I mean, apparently they don't have this new thing called the internet that this story was all over yesterday, everywhere.
Some older people don't have the internet or use the internet, so I'm just vouching for the people that I call bingo for.
Yeah, and again, I do feel badly about that, but I also know when Mary Vandeveld and Bill Leff's jobs end here. So, you know, I got that going for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just, I get it. I mean, you know, people want to watch the show and they want to see the ending. I try to be as careful as I can, you know, with movies or television shows or whatever, not to reveal spoilers. But at the end of the day, it's a TV game show.
Yeah, and I guess my summation of this was, and I don't know if you heard this when you were driving in, but what I should have said yesterday was something big is coming up on right. Jeopardy today.
Right, right.
And left it at that.
What I said yesterday... because I didn't want to completely spoil it, but it's, as you said earlier today, and I think you're 1,000% correct on this, you know, our job is to tell things that are going on right now. That I said that there is a story that's on the internet that we don't know if it's true or not, that you know, that the ending of Jeopardy has been leaked on the internet. I didn't say one way or the other, but I did say that it's there, so if anyone was interested, they could go find out for themselves. And I did mention, if anyone complains about this, call Steve Cochran or text him.
Yeah, just call or text me. Just get in line. It's like a deli right. of hatred. It's
I forwarded all my hate mail over to you yesterday. So,
do you think when I'm doing a game, I should hold off on calling the final play because I don't want to ruin the ending for anybody?
So, exactly right. Let them find out. Let them tape it. Find out later. That's exactly right. Jay-Z's in the news. Kevin Spacey's in the news. And Dean, I want you to answer a question on why Kevin Spacey's courtroom is so small. Jennifer Lopez is in the news. David Lynch and Gina Davis are in the news. All that coming up. Stand by. Dean is live at Elton Jim's house this morning. And it's your Moron Entertainment, sponsored by, help me out, Joe, who's it sponsored by? Sponsored by our friends at Ravinia. Thank you, Ravinia. And go to Ravinia and see not one, not two, not three, maybe see four shows this summer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's all part of our Dexy's Midnight Runners movie that Moron Entertainment's putting together. And Dean, I assume that we're going to be able to fold John DeCoste and my project of doing Millard Fillmore the musical into our enterprises as well. At least I hope we're going to be able to do that.
A lot of big musical projects that Moron Enterprises has coming up.
No question. No question. Our mutual friend Jeff Garland was in with you guys this morning, and he's got a stand-up special that he's taping, a Netflix special coming up in about a week. He'll be on with us later, but Jeff looks like he's lost weight.
He has lost weight. He's been watching what he's eating. I actually didn't see him at all this morning because
you were out.
Instead of being with big time television star and producer, I'm at Elton Jim's house instead. But the
in other words, you're living the dream.
He had lost quite a bit of weight the last time that we saw him. He's working out and eating properly.
He looks good.
Yeah.
Jay-Z's in the news.
He has become the first billionaire rapper, a billionaire with a B. His money from all of his music, from his streaming service, from, he has a $70 million investment in Uber. He owns a pretty substantial part of that. Liquor company, recording talent representation. He's quite the mogul, and has become rap's first billionaire. Congratulations. And, by the way, he's married to Beyonce.
Right, so he's got a fallback plan, is what you're saying?
Yeah, poor guy. Poor guy. Too bad life didn't turn out well for him.
Yeah, and I'm a huge Beyonce fan. Not so much Jay-Z. As much as I like rap, not so much Jay-Z.
Are you a Drake fan?
Drake's not a rapper.
Yes, he is.
Nah, he's a singer.
Yes, he is.
He's more of a singer. Look at you defending him like any woman in America would.
Every woman will agree.
Yeah, sure. Kevin Spacey's back in court. This is the only time we see Kevin Spacey now, right?
This is actually the first time that we have seen him in maybe a year. He's kept a super low profile, but he appeared in a Nantucket, Massachusetts court yesterday. It was a pretrial hearing for a case in which he is accused of groping an 18-year-old boy who was a busboy at a club that he was at. The boy, now in his early 20s, his mother is a television news anchor, and she's the one that alleges that all of this has happened. Kevin Spacey's attorney says that it's not, that it didn't happen, and that a key piece of evidence, the voicemails on the boy's telephone, all have been erased, which would have proven Kevin Spacey's innocence. We'll never know because it was erased. But the judge yesterday in this pretrial hearing said that the trial will begin in the fall. So we're not going to hear anything for a while, but all of this stuff coming to court.
You know, I love this huge audience. I just got a text from 773. I lived in an apartment next to Dexy in Dublin in 1982. How about that? This guy knows Dexy of Dexy's Midnight Runners. It's going to be very important to our project, Dean. Very important.
Whoever sent that in will be contacting you to be part of the movie. We'd like you to do a walk-on.
And to be a special consultant. All right. Let's see. Jennifer Lopez has got another award. Well, that's good. She needs
one. Jennifer Lopez got an award from the Fashion Designers of America. They had a big event in, I think it was in New York City last night, and she and A-Rod showed up looking phenomenal on the red carpet. She got an award last night for her innovative fashion work through the years. And also at this event, the Barbie doll also got an award for being influential in fashion as well.
Really?
Who picked it up? Who picked up the award?
Probably somebody from Mattel, I would think.
Or maybe Ken?
Ken.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Ken.
And then honorary Oscar is going to who?
Honorary Oscar it will go to David Lynch for his contribution to film through the years, and also Gina Davis is going to be getting a humanitarian honorary Academy Award. Both of these awards will be given out in October, well in advance of the actual Academy Award presentation. That'll be next February, March. I'm not exactly sure of when the 2020 date is for the Oscars. But nice that they're both being recognized. One is kind of a body of work award, and one is for humanitarian work as well.
All right. Now, you lived in the city most of your life, if not all your life. And there's a story this morning that Viv has that I think is interesting because it could be coming here. Washington, D.C. Dean, see what you think of this. Washington, D.C. Viv, tell me if I'm right. You're going to be able to, sooner than later, give a parking ticket to somebody else and not be a cop. In other words, I could give you a parking ticket, you give me one.
Oh, correct. That's fantastic.
Really?
I would be like handing those things out all the time.
Now, here's the obvious questions that come to mind. How do you avoid violence? How do you know I'm not the problem? Yeah. You know, what sort of level of honesty do you have? Do you have to take a picture of how the person is parked illegally?
It's an app.
Okay, so the app.
On your phone.
So you'd upload a picture of the illegally parked car, and then you would give them a ticket.
Yep.
I may be on board with this.
I'm totally on board with it. There's a fire hydrant that's right in front of my house, and people park in front of the fire hydrant there all the time. And, you know, I call. I feel like I'm, you know, being the nosy neighbor. But I always think if there's a fire, the fire department's not going to be able to do their job because some schmo decided that they didn't want to park 20 feet away at another parking spot someplace. They park right in front of the fire hydrant. So I would be out there all the time. And some of our older viewers will remember the famous Andy Griffith Show episode where Gomer Pyle gives Barney Fife a parking ticket, citizen's arrest.
Said it was Gomer, too.
Yeah, famous episode. So, you know, it's all come back, you know, as I've said so many times, life comes back to the Andy Griffith Show over and over again.
Yeah, but shouldn't it be old school? Shouldn't you have, like, a book of tickets that you hand write, and then you have the enjoyment of physically putting it under their windshield wiper so they can see it when they come back?
Oh, that would be fantastic. And if I could get a hat and a badge on top of it, that would be the greatest.
And do you get a cut from that, too, if you turn them in?
No.
Don't you think you should get a cut from the pay of the ticket?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point,
yeah,
Mary. That's good.
I would do it for the sheer gratification of
the badge. Yeah.
So Dean,
telling somebody you parked in front of the fire hydrant, you're not supposed to do that.
So, Dean, you wouldn't feel bad, you wouldn't feel weird if somebody knew that you were issuing these tickets?
I probably would.
Don't feel bad. It'd be good for the show.
I wouldn't feel bad as I would if somebody's house burned down because the fire department couldn't get to it.
Yeah,
I agree.
A couple of textures here. 847, Dean, tell Dean the fire department will not hesitate to bust the car's windows out and feed the hose through them for easy access to the hydrant.
Yeah.
And I got told you this. I saw a fire truck blow a car out of parking in front of a hydrant in front of a restaurant fire. Wow. There was some sort of restaurant fire, and the guy honked his big truck horn once and then gently nudged the car out of the way.
How gently?
Not so gently. And, you know, people applauded. And then, Dean, this from the 630, and I guess we tip our hats on this one to Jay-Z. That's the most white people-ass app I've ever heard of. They should just call it Snitch.
maybe that's the name of the app.
That's possible.
It totally is.
Yeah.
The program is called the Citizen Safety Pilot Program.
Well, that's a stupid name. They should go with Snitch.
You know what I would like? I would like somebody to develop something where you could snitch on other drivers who are, you know, on the expressway on their cell phones, because you see it all the time. And part of me wants to, like, take a picture of it or something. But then it's like, I'm going to cause an accident by doing that, taking a picture of somebody who's on their cell phone. But there, if Mayor Lightfoot, if you're listening, if you just put a detail on the expressway, you would solve every financial problem that the city has by putting a detail on the expressway and busting people who are on their cell phones while they're driving or texting.
Yeah, I like the first half of the idea. The second half of the idea, however, slows traffic down unbelievably.
There is a website, though, where people post license plates of cars that are driving aggressively, erratically, uncourteously. I mean, all those things.
Hmm.
So,
well, we're learning a lot this morning, Dean. Will you come back tomorrow and teach us more?
Yes, I will be happy to. I have one final lesson for you young broadcasters listening who are thinking of going to somebody's house to show a collection of a famous rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go into their house, if you happen to be allergic to cats, make sure that you bring Benadryl with you before you show up. I didn't think it was going to bother me, but now I'm like 2 hours plus into this, and I'm in desperate need of some Benadryl right now.
So you feel your breathing shutting down. All right, well, listen. It's been fun.
If I'm still alive, I will join you tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we'll roll the dice. That's our friend Dean Richards from Moron Entertainment.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Live from your computerized communications council at 8:44. I read a great story and wanted to dig a little deeper on it in the Chicago Tribune the other day. A great D-Day story. As most of you know, Thursday is the 75th anniversary of the battle that saved the free world. And that's the Battle of D-Day. And I dare say that there's not a single person listening to this show that doesn't have some connection to somebody. That whole 6 degrees of separation thing. Somebody who either served or knows somebody that served or is affected by somebody that served. So we're all affected by the fact that they, the brave men and women in the planning stages as well that served on D-Day, are the ones that allow us to be free. So I certainly hope you'll pause and reflect and share the story of D-Day, especially with younger folks, because don't assume it's being taught in school anymore. At any rate, Chris Gentry is someone who knows a little something about this. And Chris Gentry had lunch with the central figure in the story, hooked him up with a writer, and the rest was a Chicago Tribune history. And Mr. Gentry joins us now. First off, thank you for your service, Chris.
Thanks for having me this morning, Steve.
I don't know how you're general. Do I refer to you as general? How do you like to be referred to these days?
You know, the folks around Rock Island call me General. You can call me Chris, and that'll do just fine.
Serves as Major General in the U.S. Army Reserves, over 35 years of active and reserve component experience. You know, my dad was a World War II vet. I've spent a lot of time around World War II vets. We're losing, as you know, more and more of them every day. And these are the greatest generation. These are the heroes that saved the free world. And the gentleman featured in this Tribune story is absolutely amazing. He is Mr. Henry. Help me out with the last name.
Well, I think only Henry knows for sure. I pronounce it Langerer, and I think that'll be a safe bet.
Henry Langerer, and Henry parachuted into France on D-Day. He was with, and I think friends with, that famous parachutist that ends up getting hooked on the church steeple, which you've seen in every D-Day movie you've ever paid attention to.
Right. It's an amazing story, and to sit down and to speak with Henry face to face about that, and he talks about it pretty casually, but just to think about what he went through on that day for the rest of us and for Western civilization is just amazing.
He talked about in the story about looking around as he's jumped from the plane, so they're parachuting down, And he's looking around, and he's seeing an armada of ships below him. He's seeing, you know, who knows how many people also descending in parachutes around him. He's seeing planes flying in the distance and close to him. And he says in the thing, he said, I looked around and thought only America could do this.
Yeah, amazing. And only America, of course, with the help of its allies, could pull something like that off. And, it, you know, it's interesting when you, we spoke with Henry on that luncheon date. He talked about, I asked him, I said, well, what was going through your head on that day? And he said, you know, we were in England before we loaded onto the planes. And everybody was taking it pretty casually, you know, guys even whistling and singing. But, of course, when they got into the plane, they started to go over the armada, as you described. And then when they started taking fire, he said that's when things got a little bit more serious, in his words.
And I think I have this right. Correct me if I'm wrong. The day he parachutes in is the same week that he would have graduated from high school back home.
Exactly. That's amazing. 19 years old, and he's going through all this. And, you know, we talk about the Great Armada, you know, that was crossing the channel at that point. But you have to also remember that his planes that were part of that effort were under attack as well. And just, you know, he was watching planes go down to his left and right, and even men sitting next to him in the plane he was in being killed at the same time.
The general consensus is, and most war historians would agree with this, you can give me your military perspective on it, obviously, but we lose on D-Day, we lose Europe. Is there anybody that argues that point?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, I don't know if it's general knowledge or not, but, you know, General Eisenhower prepared two messages for that day. One was announcing D-Day, but he also prepared one in the event that it wasn't successful. And, I think there might be a strong argument that had we not been successful on that day, it would have had severe repercussions.
Because it would have given Hitler and the Italians and others time to retool and do all the horrible things they wanted to do. Now, back to Henry for a second. So Henry parachutes in. As the story continues, he and a buddy who survived the landing take fire. They end up on the run, hiding in a barn, right?
Right, exactly.
And what happens from there?
Well, so then they Henry, who was trained in demolitions, his mission was to blow up a bridge. So he gathered up, from what we understand, he gathered up what men were available and set out to do that. And, of course, that area there was just littered with hedgerows, which, you know, have been growing for hundreds of years, just almost as thick as a stone fence to go through. And, mm-hmm. and so they're trying to dash from hedgerow to hedgerow to avoid the Germans. And unfortunately, in that process, they get captured by the Germans. And then he was severely injured and recovered from that, but then was sent off to work in the coal mines for the Germans after that.
And in the process, and I think the way he puts it in the story, there was hand-to-hand combat, and in the process, I don't think he used the word dispatched, but he dispatched with one of the Germans so that he could proceed with his mission. Again, this is a kid. This is a 19-year-old kid who's doing this.
19 years old. And, you know, I think one of the really interesting aspects of all this is they, you know, not only are they contending with World War II and D-Day, but think about what they contended with the Great Depression before they even got to that point. So this is like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. And the fact that he had that grit, that persistence, that resilience to survive not only the airborne mission, but then to be captured and then to survive on the ground through all that experience afterwards is just incredible.
Did you have an opportunity to ask him if he dreams about it or if he thinks about it often?
You know, I don't remember asking him that question, but, you know, if you look at his life afterwards, you know, he went back to Clinton, Iowa. He started his own construction company, very successful with that. Fathered a wonderful family who continued his service to the country as well. So he came out of that amazingly healthy, you know, both physically and mentally and emotionally.
You know, if there's a texter who chimes in here. If D-Day failed, Stalin would have conquered Germany and dominated post-war Europe in a bigger way, and that's obviously a fair argument as well. The amazing thing about our friend Henry here is sharp as a tack. I mean, I'm sure he's got plenty of aches and pains, but sharp as a tack and an amazing guy to talk to. And like everybody who survives, who served then, is incredibly modest. It really never, I don't know why it always surprises me, but just incredibly modest about what they accomplished and what they did.
I think that speaks to the times that he lived in. I think, you know, there's part of the Midwest culture that's probably in that as well, too. And then, you know, the kind of the stoic, let's be very humble about this, but let's get the job done. And then, of course, his own German background as well, which is a unique aspect of this whole story. That probably lends into that as well, too. So really amazing. And I think, you know, he didn't, probably for a long time, he didn't have an opportunity to talk about it. That just, you know, just wasn't done back then. But now, of course, he's receiving the recognition, and we're very glad of it.
Such an important part of history, and I don't feel we teach it deeply enough in school where kids are going to understand it, and that's why I urge you to talk about D-Day to your kids this week. 75th anniversary coming up. You know, speaking of that, Dave Ennett and I, we've spoken about this before. Do young guys in baseball and basketball and football, do they understand the guys that came before them and the difference Curt Flood made in the history of baseball? And, you know, this goes to you, General. I mean, do you think young enlisted understand what D-Day was about?
You know, I think it probably loses some of its resonance over the course of the years, and I don't know that that's too unusual. I think in the military, though, we hopefully do enough to commemorate and to remind folks about this that that they don't forget it. And, it's interesting. I was doing a little research on Henry myself, and I ran across an article from the Des Moines Register in 2014 that I think really sums up Henry's story and his contribution, and it said, 7 decades ago, America didn't have smart weapons or smart bombs, but it had men who were smart, and Henry Langford was one of them.
How about that? What a great lead. That's tremendous. General, I almost called you Colonel. General, thank you. Thank you for giving us some background here, because this is a great man who deserves to be celebrated, and I'm happy we're able to talk to him. And that great man will join us tomorrow morning at 7:10. So thanks for giving us some background on him.
Steve, thanks for having me this morning and for allowing us to share Henry's story.
Thanks for your service. General Chris Gentry, Major General Gentry, in the U.S. Army Reserve, 35-plus years himself.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Orion Samuelson joins me next hour. It'll be a CLTV hour coming up. We're talking about Jay-Z being a billionaire earlier, and Orion's favorite Jay-Z song is Big Pimpin'. I don't know if you know that. It's always been into that. It's completely his thing. It's 8:58, and we'll get back to the newsroom in just a second. But, Steve, did the Queen and Donald Trump make any news in that press briefing?
It was the Prime Minister and Donald Trump, and he talked about quite a few things about how he's still in favor of the UK leaving the European Union. Says it should happen sooner than later. He had words about who he wanted to be the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. For her part, British Prime Minister May talked mainly about the special relationship between the U.S. and
tried to take the high road.
Tried to take the high road and really went out of her way to avoid any specific mention of any of the things that Trump was talking about.
More in a moment. Coming up, 720 WGN. I want to say hi to my friend Pat McGann, who's been on the road.
I parked on Lower Wacker. It was a little skeevy down there. It's just dingy.
Yeah, well, people
it's
don't,
Lower Wacker.
Right.
What do you think? Leave. Dust? Dude, it's I Lower love Wacker. Lower Wacker, by the way. If you want to like feel like a man, effectively use Lower Wacker. Like, if I had my wife in the car and I, like, let me just cut through here. Like, wow, you know how to use Lower Wacker? Like, that is a man's road. A lot of people do not go down there. Strong Chicagoans are
nothing's
down there.
Nothing's labeled. You don't know where you're going to get off.
No. Yeah.
Right.
It's
There's
just like,
curves.
Go towards the light. It's like the most you could recreate, I think, the experience of death. It's just like, this is unknown and scary, but I'm going to go towards the light,
ever.
And then you're out in the paradise.
It's foolproof for a guy like me. You can't get lost on Lower Wacker. It goes from here to there and there to here. That's it.
The GPS does not work down there, though, in a lot of spots.
Which is why it's great, because I
That's
know
the
there's
beauty
only
of it.
You can't get lost.
Yeah, you got to know it.
Even a guy that got lost in a parking garage, I can't get lost on Lower Wacker. I didn't get the GPS chip. You know, you stand in line, God gives some people more of one thing than another. Totally forgot GPS on me. Totally forgot. I guess it wasn't in the GPS line.
Unless you're on a golf course.
Yeah, that way I know my way around a golf course. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's more of a contained kind of society environment. It's 9:12. Hi to everybody at CLTV. Dave, give me your friendly wave.
Here's my friendly wave.
There you go. And listening on 720 WGN, we welcome back in studio the boss at Immerman's Angels. And you got to explain all of this, of course. Stephanie Lieber's here. Big fundraiser event coming up. And is this your second appearance on the show? Second, right?
This is my second appearance. I'm glad to be here.
Apparently the first one went okay.
It went okay. I hope so.
We screened. We went back. We listened to the tape. You did okay.
You approved. Good.
I've been on board with Immerman for a while, so explain what it is.
Absolutely. Immerman Angels, a terrific organization. We've been around for about 13 years. We match cancer fighters, survivors, and caregivers with folks who've been there before. We carefully match them based on their type of cancer, age, demographics. Our belief is that no one should face cancer alone. And so we do peer-to-peer psychosocial support.
So they're mentors, they're buddies?
Exactly.
All of that.
Mentor angels are our survivors and caregiver survivors who we pair up with folks who are walking the journey right now.
How big a deal is that for somebody who has cancer and maybe is new to the diagnosis to have somebody that's walked the walk and can really understand?
It's so important. There's a feeling of hopelessness, helplessness, and even if you have a great support network, those folks haven't been there. They haven't been through chemo. They haven't been through surgery. They haven't been through the sort of psychological impact of what a diagnosis does. And being able to talk to someone who has had that experience, who has been there and lived it, is vitally important.
And as much as the folks love you, telling you it's going to be okay, it's sweet.
Yeah.
But it's not always true. I mean, it's a rough ride. The treatment and things, and to have somebody to tell you what's coming up, it's probably really a big deal, right?
It's a really big deal. And it's a really big deal to talk to someone who doesn't have sort of the personal connection to you. It's wonderful when your mom is there, or your best friend, or your husband or spouse.
You need them, too.
You need them. You need every bit of support. But talking to someone who don't have those personal connections to you. You don't feel guilty sort of laying it on and saying, I feel alone. I'm scared. I don't know what's next. And that's why Immerman Angels is here.
Yeah. It's okay to cry if you don't feel like you can cry in front of your family.
It's okay to say you're scared and to admit your true feelings.
Can we just say it again? Cancer really sucks.
It sucks.
It does.
And doesn't care.
No.
Doesn't care who it hits, any of that.
Doesn't discriminate.
What's the background on Immerman Angels? How did it start?
Absolutely. Johnny Immerman is our founder. Founded the organization about 13 years ago after his fight with testicular cancer. And very similarly, he had this incredible network. His mom, his brother, his best friends. He joked sometimes that his chemo infusion room was like a party. But he didn't have the folks to ask the real questions to. What does chemo feel like the minute it goes in your veins? What's it like to date after you've been diagnosed with cancer?
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah. And he said, it was wonderful that I had this great network, but I needed to talk to someone just like me, someone who had been there and walked the
walk. Really smart.
It's really smart.
And it wasn't easy to get that off the ground like it is with any worthy cause, but you guys are cooking now and you got a big event coming up this weekend.
We are cooking now. Absolutely. We have our brunch run 5K and walk. We are so excited.
Now, do you have to run while you're eating brunch, or how does this work exactly?
You can run. You can walk. We have a few people, secret, that don't do either, and they just come for the brunch. But
they're okay, too.
They're okay, too. We welcome all. So, yes, you can run the 5K. You can walk the 5K. There's a one-mile walk, and there's this incredible eight-course brunch following that is catered by the one and only Blue Plate Catering, Chicago.
Wow. Nice.
Yes, Chicago legend.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's Saturday. It starts at 8:30 in the morning at Montrose Harbor. It's only $50.
It's
I mean, you can feel great about helping, and you know, for $50, that's great.
Yeah, you get a fabulous race along Chicago's lakefront. You get an 8-course brunch, and you get the knowledge that you're doing something for cancer fighters, survivors, and caregivers, which is incredible.
Looked at the weather. Is Mother Nature cooperating this
morning? We're hoping. I think they're predicting rain later in the day and good weather on Saturday morning. So come
that's
one,
all you
come
need.
All. Exactly.
Can rain later, just not in the morning.
We need a few hours, and looks like we got that.
Now, barring thunder and lightning, even in a bad situation, It's still a go. So bring your umbrellas and suck it up, kids.
Absolutely. And bring your appetite.
Yeah. Now, this brunch that everybody has earned, if you get a mile, can you eat as much as the people that did five?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Are you thinking about running?
I never think about running anymore, to be honest with you. But
you can walk.
I might walk it, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We would love to have you, all of you. We'd love to have everyone listening.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on out. Everybody is welcome.
Come on out.
What about people listening who have had the diagnosis, didn't know about this, and they'd like the help?
Absolutely. ImmermanAngels.org is the place to find out more information. We are always looking for mentor angels. Those are the folks who provide support to those facing the facing the cancer diagnosis right now. Right now, we have 10,000 mentor angels in
our
database. 10,000 cancer survivors and caregivers.
In 12 years.
Yep. Yep, it's pretty remarkable when you think
about that. That's goosebumps stuff. Yep. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, it's really remarkable.
So they're everywhere.
We are everywhere. We are in Chicago. We are across the country. We are in 96 countries. We match people.
Wow, that's really amazing.
Yep. So it's a global impact now.
Yeah, good for you, Johnny. And as this goes forward, the same seems to be proved over and over again, and that's people want to pay it back, right?
People want to pay it back. And in fact, this weekend at Brunch Run, we're welcoming over 100 mentees and mentors who are coming. Really, we have folks coming from California, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, mentors and mentees who are traveling to Chicago to meet their mentor angels for the first time and walk together.
Which, maybe emotional, right?
When you think about that, you realize why what we're doing is important. It's great to have mimosas. It's great to have bacon and egg sandwiches and French toast. But we're there to support those who need us most at the time they need us.
And that's a good kind of tears.
It sure is.
Yeah, to put those folks together.
It sure is.
Again, it's Montrose Harbor. It's the Immerman Angels Brunch Run 5K and walk. But again, any portion of the 5K is fine. You still get to eat.
Exactly.
And eight courses. I can't even think of eight courses.
Oh, we have.
Well, she just said right now, bacon.
Bacon, egg sandwiches.
So it's eight courses of bacon.
Yeah, eight courses, everything that's no. We have vegetarian options. We have gluten-free options. We have healthy options. We even have donuts. Do Right Donuts is donated on the course. So at about mile two, you grab a donut. Small Cakes is donating cupcakes.
So it's Homer Simpson friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We serve all. We feed all.
Cool.
We serve all.
Sounds like you guys have thought of everything.
Oh, yes.
Brunchrun5k.com is an easy way for you to register in advance. We recommend you do that.
Yes, please.
And ImmermanAngels.org if you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like help, or if you'd like just to find out more information. I hate to break it to you. You're probably going to have to come back again.
I'm ready.
I feel like this appearance went well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I mean, the first one
was
good. This one might even have been better.
Yeah. I'll come back and I'll bring bacon next time. How's that?
What makes you think I'd fall for that trick? ImmermanAngels.org. God bless you guys, man. You're doing great.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. It's just my
dog and me. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Did you know you could be petting your dog wrong? Did you know that? We were just talking about dogs in the studio, and I had this story sitting around. I haven't had a chance to get to it. There's a right way and a wrong way to pet your dog.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, your dog can't exactly communicate, and even if you got a dog that's all about love and, you know, rolls over and says, have at it, or, you know, rubs up against you, whatever. Mm-hmm. Dogs love attention.
My kids always yell at me, and they say I'm petting my dog and not petting the dog.
Much like humans, Mary Vanderbilt.
I just kind of go, oh, good puppy. You know, I just kind of pet.
Oh, do you do head. The dog talk?
Yeah, the dog pat.
I've talked about this before. I think we'd all get along better if we talk only this way.
Oh, who's going to Jewel?
Who's a good
who's
boy?
Who's going to go to Jewel? Get some bananas.
At any rate, the best way to initiate contact with a dog after getting the owner's opinion is to reach out, let the dog sniff your hand. I knew that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's a nice way to meet other people, too.
You meet
people you don't know here sniff my hand.
That got a little awkward on the 12th tee yesterday.
It was odd, wasn't it? Dogs live through their olfactory sense much more than visual, says a veterinarian from Vancouver on the subject. So be sure to keep your hands curled as if you were chopping vegetables. You with me so far? Just in case the dog feels threatened and lunges to bite your fingers. So you get a dog that's a nipper, you know, you hold your hands out. Like this, let your dog smell the back of your hand, that kind of thing.
But see, I thought that makes it look more threatening because you're making a fist.
Well, the dog doesn't know boxing. The dog doesn't think you're going to punch him in the mouth.
And I thought that he was supposed to sniff the inside, the you know what I'm talking about, like the palm of your hand.
Well, in your case, they'd be okay. Yeah, they'll be fine in your case. But be careful.
Okay.
If a dog feels something touching the top of its head, he might think it's a bigger dog attacking him and react in a defensive manner, Mary Vanderbilt.
Oh, boy. Maybe that's why I don't get the response. Sorry.
It said it could be seen as an aggressive gesture because dogs generally keep their nose to the ground. They feel something touching the top of the head to go, hey, hey, whoa, hey, whoa, hey, ho. And honestly, take your own hand right now, driving in the car at work. Take your own hand and start hitting yourself in the top of the head. Is that pleasant? That's not pleasant. That's not a pleasant thing. You know what I mean?
But I'm doing it really lightly. It's not like I'm smucking them, you know, bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, but how do you know how much pressure bothers the dog?
It's
I mean,
dog.
Seriously, go home today and your husband, Steve, don't hug him or kiss him. Just go up to him and go pat him on the head.
I love the sound effect.
Yeah, but right? Dogs like a lot of things that humans don't. I mean,
the sniffing of the butts is everything.
So what are we supposed to do? Just tickle him underneath? Just kind of.
You're supposed to let him sniff your hand first.
Yeah.
And then after that, gently petting him is a way to go, because after you sniff the hand, they trust you.
Is this just for a new dog that you haven't met before, or is this for your dog?
No, your dog you should know by now.
Right.
Like, if your dog is a vicious killer, you already know that. But if you're definitely approaching a strange dog, you got to ask the owner, the other person, if you're inclined to pet the dog, is it okay? And then reach your hand out, let him sniff you. And sniff them back if you want to. I think that's totally fair. And then, a gentle up. Where they can see you, that's the point. You know, depending on where they can see you. Once they trust you, you're probably okay. But don't pat them on top of the head anymore.
There is no kind of petting that my dog doesn't like.
From strangers as well?
That didn't sound right.
Yeah, I was leaving it clean so they could send it to Nick.
Like, let's ponder that for a minute.
Like, that's not going to appear on Nick DiGilio's show.
No, but I mean, you know, back of the head, back of the neck.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel weird putting my hand in front of a dog like that. Because, you know, I've been bitten by dogs before, so I think I'm a little paranoid that I don't want to put my hand out there.
Well, you know what the good spots are? It's according to the vet as well. They call them the good spots. The lower back and the chest. Not good doggy.
I'm going to go underneath him. I don't know.
Well, you're not juggling. You're just gonna pat him on the
I'm
that
sticking
chest.
With the padding.
Yeah. My dog likes, my dog likes the top of the butt scratch and behind the ear scratch.
And by the way, who doesn't?
Right.
A wagging tail, by the way, is not a symbol that you're green lights and good to go. A wagging tail just means the dog's ready to interact. That could also mean the dog's ready to nip, to bite. And sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, because I love dogs, sometimes when I go to interact with the dog, and the dog's jumping around being a maniac, and the owner of the dog goes, oh, no, he's fine. And then you reach out, and the dog decides your hand is lunch. So sometimes the owners aren't the best person to decide. So let the dog decide.
He never bites anyone. Don't worry, he's fine.
That's so weird. He's never ripped the arm off anyone until you came along. the helicopter tail thing with a wiggly body and loose body is generally a sign of a friendly, lovable dog. You know, a goofball dog.
Kind of could get that impression. Right?
Yeah, but that's a happy dog. Yeah. But if you get the stiff dog with a wagging tail, ooh, watch out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
These are great points.
Yeah. So now, do we feel better about this now?
I do.
Let it be the dog's choice.
Steve Dale, line one.
he probably has a completely different theory. Let it be the dog's choice. And think about it. Like, Viv, if we came up to Vivian, right? Mm-hmm. Dave, you and I are walking down the street.
You're right.
And there's Vivian, and she's with her boyfriend from California.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, Vivian looks nice. And we start patting her on top of the head. That's not acceptable.
No, I don't think so.
It's completely wrong.
You know what her boyfriend from California would do to us?
Yeah, he'd punch us in the face.
Of course.
And he should.
Right.
So that's all I'm saying. And as far as that butt sniffing thing goes, you know, I'm generally speaking against it, but I'm telling you, a lot less wars if that's how we greeted people, right?
Let's try that tomorrow.
Right? You just start circling around people a couple of times and give them a little sniff of the fanny. You're not going to be mad at them anymore. Well, maybe.
Yeah, I just put an image in my head that I'm trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
Especially if beans were involved.
That's my concern. Oh, that's my larger concern. There's no question. All right, it's 9:29, almost 9:30. We'll come back, get your headlines in just a second. And coming up, Orion Samuelson in just a moment. And I think he's coming up after listening to this conversation. He may have changed, but he's booked.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Big O! How are you, buddy?
Well, good morning.
Gotta tell you what, something unusual is happening. It's raining in Huntley, and the thunder is rolling.
It's just crazy.
We haven't seen that for 2 or 3 days.
Exactly. It's just nuts. We lost all of April and all of May.
Right.
And we had bright sunshine for one of the first 4 days of June, and that's it. One day.
And this morning, rain started to fall about 10 minutes ago. Thunder started to roll. And we need a week at least of dry weather for these ponds in the fields to disappear and let farmers get those fields planted. And we just don't get a week. We get 1 or 2 days of sunshine and then back to the rain.
The prices have to go up if the supply is down. When is that going to hit, or has it already?
Well, we've seen it up and down, but yes, corn reached a one-year high last week. And as I take a look at what's happening in the market this morning, both corn and soybeans are trading higher. And that's because the numbers that came out yesterday on planting progress for the second week in a row came in below trade expectations. For example, 71% of the U.S. corn acres have now been planted. Traders were expecting that to come in at 67%. And the 5-year average on corn planted by this date, 2/3, 67%. So we're running way behind normal on that one as we look at the amount that's been planted. 67% versus a 5-year average of 96%. Soybeans, even greater. They were expecting 42% of the acres planted, came in at 39%. And when you look at the 5-year average on that, 79% of the soybeans normally planted by this state, 39% as of Sunday. So, and you know, it's now getting to be mental stress as well, because if one thing farmers want to do, they want to plant a crop and harvest, and they just aren't able to get it in the ground. And some of the ponding that I've seen over the last week or so driving just in McHenry County and Boone County, ponds all over the place. They can start a fishing business instead of a planting business.
And people are concerned about mosquitoes, because wherever there's standing water, that's going to mean a lot of mosquitoes this summer.
Indeed it will. And then you worry about West Nile, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. Luckily, we haven't had many in our... I can't remember seeing one in our backyard. I don't know why, but they just haven't shown up yet. They will.
You know, this inability to plant what we need to grow, what's this going to do to farmers markets this summer?
Farmers markets are open, and I've talked to some of the farmers markets in the area. They said they're finding some produce, but they're bringing quite a bit of it in from other parts of the country, like the South, where they have been able to plant more than we have and get those products ready for the farmers market. And I understand that Mirai corn is off to a good start. Whew. That's the word we got from Twin Garden Farms. Whew. That it's off to a good start. So they managed to get it in the ground. And, of course, if you're in the sweet corn business for a farmer's market, you have to plant sweet corn probably 5 or 6 times in the summer, because you want it to ripen and mature and be ready for sale in August and September and October. So,
and Mirai sweet corn is the best sweet corn ever.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
And the fine people. I don't know. I didn't know the band was playing. Where's that music coming from?
It's pretty good.
Oh, from a corn porn. This is corn porn. I forgot. This is a little corn porn music here. But the Mirai sweet corn is fantastic. And I just want Dave and everyone to know that you guys might have to give up your share of Mirai sweet corn if he's running short this year.
Why is that?
Well, because I'm not giving up mine.
Okay, we'll find someone else to give up theirs.
Right.
You guys are looking at me.
Thanks, Big O.
Right.
I know.
Right.
Listen, I'm not giving that up. Sorry.
I got a note on the Naperville Farmers Market. It opened, I think, just about a week ago, maybe. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds about right for farmers markets. Yeah.
Fifth Avenue Apartments parking lot in downtown Naperville. And there was a kid wandering around. One of the reporters got to the kid and said, the 7-year-old kid said, "I like to come for the donuts and the cheese curds." I mean, that's the stuff of life. Oh, that's it. What else do you need?
Well, anyway, there will be a lot of farmers markets, as always. They will somehow find a way to have things available for sale and have the crop mature. But it won't come easy this year because they're going to have to probably space their planting even closer to continue to fill the market needs as the summer moves along. And hopefully we will get dry weather, and we do. It'll happen. As a matter of fact, our weather guy for agriculture on the TV show, Greg Solier, says, normally when you have a spring this wet, when it turns off, it'll turn off and stay off for a while. So that's what we probably have to look forward to in the summer season.
What else is happening in business today?
Well, in business today, we're looking at a very strong market. Wall Street, we've been up, we're up 345 points on the Dow. The NASDAQ is up 102. And that's coming about primarily because there is now some talk that the Fed might lower interest rates. It's only talk at the moment, and I'll believe it when it's announced, but that kind of talk, because Wall Street and the ag markets very often live on rumors. Somebody hears this and, well, okay, we better do this. You know, the China-U.S. trade situation, a new headline every day and a new market reaction every day. I can't remember when we've seen markets go up one day and down the next as long a period as we're seeing now. They just react to any headline or anything else. And, of course, anybody can put headlines on the Internet, and somebody will read it and believe it. So it's going to continue to be a volatile summer in the markets.
You know, you and I talked about this years ago, how an analyst, you can have, companies report during earnings season, and they report profits and numbers better than expected, but an analyst goes, I don't know.
Wasn't as good as we thought it should be.
Yeah, it was as good as we thought it should be, and therefore the stock goes south. It's just the craziest business.
Well, but, you know, there are those traders who like volatility because some traders are long the market, others are short. So whether it goes up or down, some traders somewhere are making money, and they say that happens because of volatility. So
I don't know how you'd police that, but it seems like not allowing people to bet on volatility would create less volatility. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I don't know, but the thing that I hear often from farmers is, why should people be allowed to come into the grain market and sell corn or sell wheat or sell soybeans when they don't produce it, and they only come in and sell it, which then pushes the market down, to take advantage of the price and to make some money on it? And I understand why, but you got to have a buyer, you got to have a seller in the market in order to make a market. But yeah, it has bothered me over the years why people who don't have an ear of corn anywhere in the house are able to go in and sell thousands of bushels of corn in the market. But that's the way the market works.
I'll leave you with one food thought question, whatever the anecdote, I suppose. Mondelez, they're the company that makes Oreos. And they also make Chips Ahoy and Cadbury chocolates and Nilla wafers and Ritz crackers. Yep. But they make Oreos, and they're strongly considering infusing Oreos with CBD. CBD is a chemical compound found in cannabis plants. This to me would be like Dennis giving out candy bars while they're taking care of you. Oreos with the CBD infusion, wouldn't that make you get the munchies while you're having the munchies while you're eating the Oreos?
Could very well, and of course I'm not a cannabis fan. I'm not in favor of the legislation on it at all. You know, it's been interesting watching the state legislature. I've seen all of this talk about having to get the money to pay for things. I don't see any talk about cutting budgets anywhere.
Right.
All they do is say, let's find more money and we'll get it from the taxpayers. I'm not very happy.
And what we keep hearing, not just this week, but we've heard it for a long time, is why would we give more money to irresponsible people who don't spend it the way we need to spend it?
Good point. And
yeah, you don't have the answer, neither do I.
No, I don't, but doesn't make sense to me. And now we're going to pay more gasoline tax for who, for what? Because the other thing, well, this goes to Congress. I mean, Social Security money that you and I have been putting into it and other people for years and decades, mm-hmm. you know, we'll run out in about, I think, 2030 or 2035.
Right.
Because Congress has taken those funds and borrowed them, quote unquote, to pay for projects that they want. I'm not very happy with Congress right now.
No, I'm not either. They're filled with cowards and do-nothings. Having said that, the infrastructure needs that are supposed to be met, this again is why everybody in the state needs to pay attention, and you need to lean on the people in Springfield and say, you said the bridges would be fixed. You said right. the roads would be fixed. We right. gave you the money to do it. Why is it not happening? If, in fact, it doesn't, they get the benefit of the doubt only because they have the money.
Yes.
So stay on them.
You and I are on the same page, sir.
Well, usually, yeah, usually. I mean, when we're not, you correct me.
Well, I try. I'm not always successful. But.
It's the legend, Orion Samuelson. Hi to Gloria. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Have a good week.
I was going to ask Super Joe, you know, you brought the lineup out with the White Sox the other day. Have they offered you full-time work?
I cannot speak to that right now.
Mm. But you'd never leave this show, would you?
What? What?
Super Joe brought the lineup out. Was it Sunday?
It was Sunday.
Yeah. And are you, have you come down from cloud, whatever cloud that
I
was?
I have not.
Okay.
He's living in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm strong. Way up here, buddy.
Next White Sox game, Dave?
That would be tonight in the nation's capital against the Washington Nationals.
Nationals any good this year?
They have not been very good. They've been playing better lately. But
did they lose a big player that would have helped them?
They did lose a big player who probably would have helped them by the name of Bryce Harper.
Yeah. How are the Phillies? I'm not paying any attention.
They're in first place, but they're on a losing streak right now. They've lost five in a row.
That's where Bryce Harper ended up. It's over. James Holzhauer loses today on Jeopardy. Now, before anybody goes spoiler alert, it's Jeopardy. And he lost.
Right. Calm down. It's Jeopardy.
I would be the only one in America with a microphone not telling you this if, right. if
it's
you
all over. It's all over the place.
So Holzhauer loses, and we'll play you a clip of it later. I mean, it's just Alex Trebek going, crap, I thought we could straighten this out a little while. But he did not reach the Ken Jennings number of consecutive wins, nor the money. So the Nerd Fight winner is Ken Jennings. So what time's Jeopardy on?
3:30.
3:30 on Channel 7?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you want to watch it.
And then you can watch it again like at 2:30 in the morning.
I don't see either one of those happening.
No point in watching it now. It's spoiled.
And little did I know that Mary Vandeveld and Bill Leff would hate me after what happened yesterday. Bill, have you forgiven me?
Nope.
Okay, just checking. Mary, have you forgiven me?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No.
Bill, I did apologize earlier in the show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
so here, let me pat you on the head.
We've got...
It's okay.
Scratch
Steve,
me on the
scratch. Okay.
Scratch me just above my butt.
spoiler alert.
We decided earlier this morning. Spoiler alert.
Yes.
You got to say spoiler alert, or before if I had said yesterday, something big's coming up today on Jeopardy.
And that would have been the way to
play. And not only left it at that, left the room.
Right.
Just gone home at that point.
Right.
Then
right.
it would have been fine.
Why don't you just tell us how the world's going to end so we don't have to think about it?
I know how your show ends today.
Today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
I'm not telling you to, but I know right. how it ends. Dave, we need to thank our friend Dr. Kevin Most and everybody at Northwestern Hospital. So we're the host yesterday. As you and I and Ted Albrecht, handsome devil that Ted Albrecht, and Pat Brady played golf at Medina, legendary, beautiful Medina, and benefited the folks at Marion Joy.
It was a great day.
Yeah.
It was a great. It got a chance to play a few holes with Kurt Byram.
Kurt's the best. Kurt Byram, great. Handsome yeah. devil too. Kurt Byram, and he was upset with me as well because I
for
told
Jeopardy?
Him he was going to make birdie.
Oh,
yeah,
before
yeah.
he did it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of golf psychic.
But he said, "Spoiler alert."
Well, that's better. It's progress.
And our friend Chris Smith, who is he's going to the Senior Open and the Senior British Open. He qualified for the Senior Open, got him in the British Open, and I think he's going to have a nice run as one of the old guys on tour now. So anyway, good guys. Had a fine time, and Dr. Most is playing some golf as well today. Oh, I'm sorry. If you thought he was supposed to be at work today, Dr. Most is doing some lab work
yes.
at home,
mm-hmm.
in his home laboratory.
Yeah, on the fairway.
Oh, we got one more break? All right, one more break. We'll come back, and then Bill and Wendy take over. They hate me. Next on 720 WGN. I'm going to give the secrets of the Bill and Wendy show away. But I just heard a very serious discussion about the fact that James Holzhauer took a dive because he wasn't good at Shakespeare.
We will explain more of it, but that category came up earlier in the week. He did not answer very many questions. I don't know.
You should know this, Steve. I was playing tennis last night with a guy who doesn't know what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, how about this Jeopardy guy? I go, yeah, kind of a shock, isn't it? And he goes, not to me. Some clown on the radio spilled the beans.
No
Yeah.
Ken Jennings, here's my theory. Ken Jennings paid off Holzhauer to take a dive.
Oh, interesting.
Just a few thousand short of the number.
Interesting.
Paid him off.
There's something fishy.
Right. The disappointment in Trebek's voice when she got the question.
Oh, God! Right. Right.
What are you doing today other than that?
We're talking to Richard Pryor Jr.
Ah, come on!
He's got a book
Guess
out.
Guess who his dad is, Steve? You will never in a million years.
Chevy Chase?
Yeah. No. Come on.
Richard had like eight kids.
Yes.
Can I tell you, I don't know anybody a bigger fan of Richard Pryor than me. I didn't know he had a Richard Pryor Jr.
Yes, with his first wife, his first kid.
And then he started naming kids after weather systems.
Like rain.
Rain, drizzle. Yes. Drizzle Pryor, remember Drizzle?
Drizzle Pryor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I got to get the book.
Stormy Daniels.
That's Richard Pryor's kid?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go ruin some children's birthday parties, but I'll be back tomorrow.